97.5, The Fanatic.
Side out, Harris will inbound. And here's a shot by Ben. The crowd loves it. A three by Ben Simmons on the catch. The crowd rising. He had that three in the preseason, but that is his first NBA career three, and the crowd loves it. Get excited!
How about it? Will you remember where you were when that three ball from the far corner, as I was looking at my TV, when it went down, pulled up without even thinking about it, Ben Simmons did. And oh, by the way, the Sixers won 109-104 against the New York Knicks. Made it a little too interesting for comfort, I would say. The Knicks came out of the halftime and jumped on the Sixers 15-0. They led by as many as 77-60 midway through that third quarter before the Sixers finished the Knicks off 49-27 coming down the stretch. We can talk about the a play of a number of people that made that possible after digging that 17-point deficit with a quarter and a half to play. You can talk about Ben Simmons, who the three obviously is interesting, of course, because you've been waiting to see it. You've been waiting a long time, as Tom McGinnis had said in the call or right after the call. He had made one in the preseason. That didn't count. So this was his first ever in a game, in a regular game. I'm pulling up a stat because I couldn't believe this. I got this from Josh Schrager, who does the graphics and stats for the NBC Sports Philadelphia broadcast. But are you ready for this? We know this was his 18th three-point attempt in his career as an NBA player. But that made three was on his 2,076th field goal attempt as a professional. Pretty amazing. 2,076 field goal attempts before one went down for him from three-point range. But defensively, I think that's where it all started. And really, it was Ben's defense that turned this thing around when it looked like it was getting out of hand for them. Knicks, not a very good team. They have been playing better of late. But what they, you know, they blew that big lead because of the Sixers' defense, the excellent shooting of Mike Scott, his three ball that gave the Sixers a 93-90 lead, allowed them to take the lead and never look back. The play of Joel Embiid, and Embiid also had a critical three in that stretch of closing this game out for the Philadelphia 76ers, who, by the way, are now 5-0 at home. 5-0 at home with a whole lot of home games coming up. I believe they play 13 of their next 18 at the center, and they remain unbeaten there. They will play the San Antonio Spurs on Friday. They'll have Miami on Saturday. The Spurs, I believe, they definitely were losing at Washington when I was coming in. I'll double-check the scoreboard on that. If, in fact, they did, they would come into the center at 5-10. Unheard of to see a San Antonio Spurs team that is at the bottom of their division. But for you, who was, who was your standout of this game? Who really had their fingerprints all over it? Who would be your bell ringer, if you will, in this game tonight? Again, a 109-104 victory for the Sixers. And the other, was anybody out there watching Betcash? I believe that's the name of the show that was on NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus. So I had walked into the room and I say, oh, let me check out what Betcash looks like. Because basically it's a show that has all the odds that you could bet on, props and whatnot. And then the game is in a box also. And our own Mark Farzetta, Anthony Gargano, part of the crew. So the gentleman, and I apologize, I don't know his name, who was doing the show with them. But he says, as I'm walking into this room, that the odds on Ben Simmons making a three tonight were 14-1. And everybody kind of chuckles. And the ball's coming up the court, right? The Sixers are bringing it up the court. Furkan kicks it to Ben in the corner. He throws it up. he makes it, and I thought Anthony Gargano was going to lose his mind. You got to check it out if you can. Lose his mind. It was so, the timing of it was amazing because the guy was just finishing saying that the odds were 14 to 1. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder how many people even play that at this point. I mean, this guy's now in his third season, and he's not taking shots from three-point range. Who would actually waste the money of placing that bet? And then, boom, he knocks that down. So, and Betcash, kind of a cool way. I'd like to know what people think of watching the game through that lens while people are talking about money or wagering and still watching the game but not hearing the game broadcast. If you did do it that way, I'd love to hear your thoughts and your perspectives. Oh, we just got word that Embiid said he will play in both games this weekend, which are back-to-back, Saturday, Sunday. Now, again, they are both at home. I don't know if that impacts the decision of him to play in those. I will do some research. I do not recall the last time he played in a back-to-back. That would be, it's been a while, if ever. 610-632-0975. I'm looking for your take on who you would make the bell ringer. And if you already heard who Brett Brown did, you don't have to do it by who the team picked as the bell ringer. It's your bell ringer. Obviously, Ben Simmons is on the table. Joel Embiid on the table. Simmons finished 7 of 9 from the floor. He played almost 42 minutes. 7 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 1 from three-point range. When will we hear that again? 3 of 4 at the foul line. I love that. 7 boards, 13 assists, only 1 turnover, a block and a steal, 18 points. So a double-double for Ben Simmons. Wow, what a night statistically. And that in there, picture the defensive intensity he brought to the table when they needed it most, trailing by 17 midway through that third quarter. So he's up there. Joel Embiid did not have a great shooting night. The one part of his line that I really don't like, 1 of 7 from three. I think it's too many three-point attempts for him. It's not where you can do your most damage. He was 8 of 12 at the line, had 23 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, and a couple of block shots. Now, one guy whose numbers might not wow you, but if you saw him in the fourth quarter, you would quite possibly be impressed, and you'd be impressed with his play. And for me, I liked the substitution by Brett Brown, and that's Trey Burke. 3 of 6 from the floor. He finished with 9 points, plus 4, and he was in there for 8.5 minutes in that fourth quarter, instead of giving minutes to Furkan Korkmaz, who didn't have it tonight. He was 1 of 5 and 0 of 4 from three-point range. So for Brett Brown to put a Trey Burke in there in critical minutes in a game that could have gone either way at that point, and the way he described it after the game, he put him in there and let him be Allen Iverson-ish playing alongside a Ben Simmons, and I thought it worked out well. So Trey Burke. And then, of course, Mike Scott. I mean, come on, man. 4 of 6 from three. One of them, I heard Tom McGinnis said, was from 30 feet. Mike Scott finishing with 12 points, 4 boards. And after the game, he told Tom McGinnis, I didn't do anything special. I'm just trying to help my team get some wins. You know what? His three-pointers were so necessary. And again, the Sixers victorious 109 to 104. So I need your bell ringer. And did anybody watch Betcash, a different way of watching the game? I don't know. I think they said they have others coming up. I don't know how many they have total this year that you can watch that way. And if you were watching, did anybody see the reaction of Anthony Gargano? Mark Frazetta says the show is called Betcast. Betcast. Okay. Not Betcash. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Mark Farzetta. Betcast. Let's go to the phones and we'll check in with Paul in Somerton. Paul, thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, Dee, thank you so much for taking my phone call tonight. I know that the other players had phenomenal games, but you cannot give the bell ringer to anyone but Ben.
And not just because of the three-pointer, I hope.
Absolutely not.
No, because of the
defense in the third quarter was so critical in the comeback. I mean, being down as much as they were to a team that they shouldn't be down by as much. But his defensive efforts is just, it's crazy. And I absolutely love Brett Brown's decision putting Trey Burke and Mike Scott in for the fourth quarter minutes instead of Horford and Korkmaz, because they were both incredibly off tonight. And a lot of people want to bury Brett Brown for everything he does, but he should get a lot of credit for the coaching decisions he made in that fourth quarter tonight.
Yeah, and you're right. I mentioned Mike Scott being out there with Trey Burke. No, but you're right. I mentioned Furkan's struggles tonight, but I didn't. Horford didn't shoot the ball well either. You are correct. 3 of 11 from the floor.
Yeah,
but the only thing I will say, Paul, I thought Horford, when they were dying and struggling in that third, I think they were being outscored at 1:24-6. And Horford was the one who finally made a bucket, and actually he made two in a little bit of a stretch there that I thought were important. And one of them, he had to go to the offensive glass because he missed the first attempt.
It just seemed like the Knicks were not missing in that quarter at all. And, I mean, once the defense stepped up and they put the pressure on them and they stopped them from scoring, it just completely flipped the game. I mean, I know we should have probably beat them by 20 or something tonight, but a W is a W. And later on this year, when we're at 60, that W is going to matter as far as seeding goes. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the other thing I will say, similar to the way people would say they should have beaten Cleveland because they blew a big lead with Cleveland in their own building. Now when they come back and they met them that second time on the road, they blew their doors off. So you could have the same thing happen in a later meeting with the Knicks.
Yeah, I think they played them in like on the 29th, I think. If I'm not 100% sure, but you know, probably kill him. But
we'll see. I mean, I did mention after starting the season 1 of 7, they had come in the building tonight. The Knicks 3-3 in their last six.
Oh wow, I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that.
So they definitely are playing better basketball.
Well, he had a good coach. Fizdale's a really good coach.
Yes, and he hasn't had it easy.
No.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of a lot of criticism and not a lot of winning going on up there.
Steve, thank you so much for taking my phone call, and have a great night. Go Sixers.
I appreciate the phone call, Paul. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, let's check in with Adam in Philly. Adam, thank you for calling 97.5. How are you?
Hey, D. Good game tonight. The Knicks, to me, are like Groundhog Day. They get these leads, and then they find a way to lose down the stretch.
I heard in the broadcast they had blown a 27-point lead in one of their recent games also.
Yeah, they just don't have a closer. They just don't. So.
Yeah.
But I heard you last week, at least on YouTube, it was posted that you were doing I'm not sure how you say his first name. Is it Muriel
Shayok? Yes.
Yeah, Shayok. Okay.
Yep.
I have to admit, like, some players really intrigue me with Ben Simmons, and that guy reminds me of, like, if he could play with Simmons, he could be like a J.R. Smith off the bench, not hitting 40-footers. He doesn't shoot from that far, but he shoots three-pointers that, quicker than he has such a quick release. And I think he was a little too hyped in the summer league, because his floor game in the G League is much better, and his scouting report that I read is his floor game is a pretty strong point. So all I wondered was, did you think he had a shot of coming to play at all for the Sixers at any point, like even when they hit the 10-day contract, or even when they hit the whatever, I don't know what you would call it, but...
Well, first of all, he is there. He's on a two-way contract with the Sixers.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. So, I mean, he can spend time up with their team up to a certain amount of days. I don't have the exact number for you, but he definitely can spend time and probably will at some point, I would assume. The other thing I would say, he shoots a lot of long twos, not as many threes like you were saying, and they're actually trying to work with him to make to kind of develop that so it is definitely threes as opposed to those long twos.
The long twos. I didn't realize that. Okay.
And then going into his game last night, he had played three G League games. He was averaging 35 points in those. They did not have a good game last night at all, and part of that was because Shake Milton, Jonah Bolden, Zaire Smith, Norvell Pell, and Shayok were all down there in the G League to play, and I think it kind of threw them off because that's five guys, three for sure, that are on assignment, plus both of your two-way guys, and they didn't have a good game. So I wouldn't look at Shayok's numbers from last night. But other than that, yes, he is a volume scorer, shooter, and he was shooting 48 from the floor and 33 from three.
And I'll just ask you, I mean, when a guy can, like, I remember Hubie Brown saying at one point in a broadcast, I'll let you go after this, just Hubie Brown made a point in a broadcast that you have to be a pretty explosive player in the NBA to be able to get up shots. And that guy looks like he can get up shots consistently. But like you say, if he's getting up long twos, you know, that's not what you want. You want him to get behind the three-point line. But I'm just saying, if he's consistently getting up those threes, if he's shooting 33%, in my opinion, with a Ben Simmons, it's almost like 43%. Because if he can get up 12 shots in a matter of, like, I don't know what you would say,
minutes. Yeah, if he can come in and change the momentum of a game. I appreciate the phone call, Adam. Sure. The only other thing I'll add to what Adam is talking about there, I'm not sure he's unlike what they have in Shake Milton right now, who's a little further along because he spent last year basically doing what they have Mariel Shayok doing now, and that's playing at the two-way, on a two-way contract. And Milton tonight was 3 of 6. He did get 14 minutes for the Sixers, but I would say Trey Burke's fingerprints were on that game way more than pretty much the only other bench guy that had a bigger role was Mike Scott. And then I would say it was Trey Burke after that, personally. A couple of statistics before we go back to the phone lines, by the way, 610-632-0975. 30 assists on 39 made field goals. Outstanding numbers there. And for all the harping we do about how much the Sixers turn the ball over, they had only 10 turns in this game. Well done in taking care of the basketball. And my third stat that I pointed out or wrote down on my sheet as we were going along here was that they were 13 of 32 from three-point range, certainly helped by Mike Scott making 4 of 6, Ben making 1 of 1, excellent, Embiid had 1 made 3, Thibault had a made 3, but to be able to drop 13 of those and shoot 40% from behind the arc was another impressive number, in my opinion. 109-104, a victory for the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's check in with Roy in New Hampshire. Roy, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing? Man, you hit on the points that I was just going to ask about. How many turnovers did they have?
10. 10. Season
one. Yeah, how about that? I'm a big fan of giving Trey Burke more time. I've been thinking about it all week, that Trey Burke has to play more, because I believe that the problem with the Sixers is at the point guard position. It's not, you know, the players that they have, the collection of players they have. I believe is at the point guard position. And just when Ben Simmons, I was ready to trade Ben Simmons, he pulls you back in. He's the most frustrating player I have ever seen.
Well, I will agree with you there, because tonight you wouldn't want to trade him at all.
No, not at all. I mean, he was aggressive tonight. And I just wonder, what is it? Why is he not aggressive every night?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I do know this. I noticed that first play of the game, they posted him up. Did you see the game right out of the game?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
no.
They posted him right up, and I don't love this shot, but he, you know, dribbles into the middle of the paint and fades away. But I do like that instantly there. It's sending him to the block, throwing the ball down low to him, and now he's already in an aggressive mindset, in my opinion. That's the way I saw it tonight.
Right. If we could just get Embiid to set up on the low block like a traditional center and start doing his damage from down low and then work his way out, and then, you know, man, I'm telling you, our two superstars are just too frustrating for me, man.
I have to tell you, I thought I was at practice yesterday, and I thought Brett Brown had an interesting phrase that there is nothing traditional about this roster. He does not have a traditional post-up center as dominant as Embiid can be. He does not have a traditional point guard with what he has in the Ben Simmons. He does not have a traditional stretch four in an Al Horford. Al Horford can make a three. He's struggling right now, but he's not traditional. And so, because a lot of people have been critical, me being one of them, of Brett saying, you know, we may not be a cohesive unit offensively until Christmas. And I didn't want to hear that. But his point is, it is not traditional, and it is on him to figure out how to use these non-traditional pieces. And part of that is trying to, like he used the phrase, if you post Ben, now where do I put those other pieces so that they're still going to be able to be effective? And it's taken longer than he thought it would take offensively.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one final question.
Sure.
The missing piece. I want to ask you if you agree with this. The missing piece on the Sixers is a point guard.
I can't say that. So, because I'm not saying you have to like Ben Simmons, but there's a lot about him that's different than all other point guards that you can use to your advantage. So one of the things you liked when they put Trey Burke out there tonight, right, because he's a traditional point guard, only technically they were using him, because Brett Brown even said it in his postgame, like Allen Iverson esque, whichever, however I'm supposed to finish that, but which would be a two guard and a point guard's body. And the way that Al was used, he played off of Eric Snow being the point guard.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? So, I still believe that you can have Ben be your point guard. You just have to figure out what's the best pieces alongside him in given moments. And I don't know if Trey Burke's supposed to be it every night, but I do like, if it's not the right person out there in a given situation, Furkan has been good in situations, tonight was not, and that Brett made the decision, then I don't need you out there. I got to go with somebody else, and he went with Trey Burke.
Yep. Okay. All right, D. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Roy, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. Actually, for as frustrating as watching the third quarter was, or at least the first six plus minutes of the third quarter, it was a very interesting game down the stretch. I mean, there were a lot of cool things that you could look at from a coaching perspective, from making big shots, from the defensive perspective. And that maybe is the one thing we'll talk about on the other side. Why or where has that defense been of late? Because that's who we're supposed to see, a defensive juggernaut in this group. Tonight, in that last quarter and a half, you saw it, and it started with Ben Simmons. 610-632-0975. Who would be your bell ringer tonight? And did you watch the show on TV, and maybe you clicked over to NBC Plus, NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus, and watched BetCast? If you did, I'd like to know your thoughts. 610-632-0975. D-lining with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
87-85. Oh, a shot by Mike Scott is good. He just stepped out of FDR Park and he reined in a three. Whoa. The crowd was stunned and so were the players. Mike Scott from well beyond the arc, a 30-footer.
You gotta love stepped out of FDR Park and reined in a three. That was pretty cool. Mike Scott, one of his four made threes. He attempted 6 3-pointers in the Sixers 109-104 victory over the New York Knicks, a game where they had to come back from 17 down midway through the third and outscore the Knicks 49-27 down the stretch to stay undefeated at the Wells Fargo Center. Some interesting numbers across the board. The play of Ben Simmons was impressive, though I'm sure people will be talking for quite some time about his first NBA made three-pointer that came very early in the first quarter in the corner right in front of his own bench. Compliments of Furkan Korkmaz. But I'm going to go back to some numbers from my good friend Josh Schrager, who works for the Sixers broadcast. Simmons, less than 8 feet in this season. He is 71 of 112 field goals. 71 of 112. 8 to 16 feet, 1 of 12. 16 to 24, hasn't taken one. And 24 plus, now 1 of 1. Pretty amazing. That means 112 of his shots of his, let's see, 112 of his 125 total have come inside 8 feet. But tonight he had one further than 24. Let's check in with James, who is leaving the game. He might already be home by this point. Thanks for your patience, James.
Well, I'm on the way, D. You know, I wanted to give you a call because I love your show.
Thank you.
On the way home from the game, which was great, with my father. But I got it. I have to get a couple things off my chest.
Go ahead.
Because watching it at, you know, there while you see the whole court is a different thing. Embiid infuriates me with, I don't know, is it just me or does it look like he's loafing around half the time? Is he just tired? Or
you are not the first. You are
completely out of it.
Yeah, you are not the first that has pointed that out of late.
I feel like he's taking the energy or the juice out of the offense, the defense.
Yeah.
I just want to see him like get after it.
Yeah. Well, and I don't. The problem is, at the end of the day, somebody's going to say, "Well, what are you complaining? He has 23 points, 12
yep.
boards, 5 assists,
yep.
2 block shots." I start off by saying I didn't like that he was 1 of 7 from 3. 7 is way too high a number, and when you're only making 1, I don't want that. I don't need that.
Watching him shoot those 3-pointers makes me crazy. I'm pulling my hair out at the game, and then he nails the last one.
I was just going to say, but James, you know that, and that's what we're going to get. And it was a critical one because it was a 4-point game at that point, 99-95. I didn't see it. I was listening to it on the radio at that point because I had to be here. I guess it could have gone either way if he must have fallen into somebody after he made it. But at least that's what it sounded like. So
I couldn't tell. I'm watching it. I'm watching all the – I mean, hats off to – I mean, Shake. Seibel was balling out.
Well, you know, Trey Burke, for sure.
They all look great,
yeah.
You know. But, you know, I just get really frustrated when I'm watching this one guy seem like he takes the juice out of the whole team. And I know what that's like. And one thing, before you let me go,
sure.
I wanted to give Herb McGee a big shout out.
Oh, good for you.
For his big, I had the pleasure of working, or not working, but playing for him for a couple of years, and it was just magical.
Wow.
And now to see him do that, I don't know. Sometimes I wish he was the coach over here. But I know he'd be happy to see Mike Scott's stroke.
Oh, yeah.
He was really lighting it up today.
Oh, my God. Well, even as a team, they ended up 13-32, which is, you know, those are good numbers. 40%, I'll take it any night.
No, and then we got the W.
Yep.
Everything was great. But, you know, just watching something like that, I just don't know what it is. And then, you know, you see how he takes, you know, Embiid, rather.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I knew
he's off every other day. And, you know, this, that, the other. I thought that he would be a, you know, a fire a firecracker out there when all, you know, with all the energy. But it just looks like, to me, it's quite the opposite.
Right. You will be happy to know, and I appreciate the phone call, James, that Embiid said after the game that he will play in both Friday and Saturday's games. So he's going to play this back-to-back coming up. I wasn't able to, well, I'm going to look into it, but he may be playing the back-to-back because there is no travel involved in it, or maybe he's getting healthy enough that they're going to be willing to do this more often this year. Or maybe it's happening because both games are at home. And I have read and seen people saying, you know, play this guy. It's not fair to your fan base. And so these are two games at home. And he will be playing in both of them. Friday's against San Antonio. And Saturday is against the Miami Heat, who, by the way, are a sneaky 10-3 in the East. Let's check in with Mike in Mount Airy. Mike, I apologize. I don't know how I did that. If you're out there, Mike, please call back and we'll get you right on. 610-632-0975. Dan is with us in Medford. Dan, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, D. First of all, I love listening to you. I think you're very knowledgeable, especially when it comes to basketball, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I will preface everything that I'm saying with I'm not a huge basketball guy, but I'm disappointed with tonight's performance by the Sixers for the following reason. I know they got the win, but they got the win against a 4-win Knicks team that they should have dominated. And we came into the season talking about how we were going to have a team that was long and was going to play defense, and I'm just not seeing that at all. I'm seeing a team that isn't designed to shoot three-pointers, wanting to shoot three-pointers, and there's no reason why we should have been down double digits to the Knicks tonight.
Well, I would agree with that coming out of the halftime. That definitely they were lacking energy, they lacked defense, they were outscored 15-0, absolutely for sure. Now, what happened after that, I think, and it began with Ben Simmons' defense, I do think they got after it because they outscored New York 49-27 to close that out. And in terms of the three-pointers, I would agree with you on most nights because I don't think they have or they haven't been shooting the three ball very well. Tobias still below 30% from three-point range. He's supposed to be better than that. Josh Richardson not shooting the three ball well. He didn't play tonight. But as a group tonight, helped tremendously by Mike Scott shooting. They were 13 of 32, and that's, you know, 40% from three. I would take that any night. So I can't complain about them putting up the threes. And by the way, they do the 13 of 32 tonight with Embiid going 1 of 7 from three. So the rest of those guys were pretty good.
So I guess my concern more so is compared to hitting 40%, which is great. This team is the way this team is set up. They shouldn't be taking 30 plus threes a night, and they shouldn't be letting up 100 plus points to an inferior Knicks team on a given night.
Well, and 104 points, Dan, isn't a lot of points. Come on.
Well, it's also coming off of a disappointing Oklahoma City loss. Now, I understand that you got a Cleveland win in between that, but if the identity is supposed to be a defensive identity, I'm not seeing
that. I would agree that the identity, and I do appreciate the phone call, the identity is supposed to be about them being a defensive-minded top three, top five defensive team in this league. And to your point, I don't think 104 is a lot of points, but I understand where you're coming from because New York came in averaging 102, so the Sixers let them score two more than their average. I get it. We'll talk more about the defense and why was it there tonight, eventually, finally, in that final quarter and a half, and how can they sustain that defensive intensity moving forward. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.